Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I have just had the honor of being interviewed by a Columbus, Ohio radio talk show host, Coach Dave Dobemeyer. He's the head of a group called Minutemen United, and he's a wonderful Christian leader, pro-life activist, and he watched the Focus on the Strategy DVD that we have done analyzing legal positivism and how Christian pro-life leaders have actually adopted moral relativism in their worldview for laws and judges and courtroom decisions. So he watched it. He was just struck by how important it is, and he interviewed me. Now, I'd like to play that interview for you uninterrupted. So let's go now to Coach Dave Dobemeyer's show in Columbus, Ohio.
Welcome back to Pass the Salt with Coach Dave Dobemeyer Radio, like you hardly ever hear it, unless, of course, you happen to be in Denver, Colorado, where you have the chance to listen to Bob Enyart Live. And joining us by phone right now is Pastor Bob Enyart, the host of Bob Enyart Live in Denver, Colorado, pastor of the Denver Bible Church. And this guy's kind of weird, folks. He's one of those pastors who believes that you should take the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the streets. I ran into Pastor Bob again when we were down in Jackson, Mississippi, and trying to close down the only freestanding abortion clinic remaining in Jackson, in the state of Mississippi, which is in Jackson. Pastor Bob came down there and joined with Operation Save America. But the thing that really, really got me going was some of Pastor Bob's associates sent me home with his new DVD on legal positivism, and it just blew me away. Pastor Bob Enyart, welcome to Pass the Salt, and to all the folks in Ohio and all across America live on the internet. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. What an honor to talk to the founder of Minutemen United, Coach Dave. It's great to talk to you, Coach.
I'm honored that you give us the time to do this, Pastor Bob. Before we dive into this legal positivism, which to me is kind of earth-shaking and earth-shattering, Pastor, in fact, while I'm thinking of it, I got to get some more of those DVDs. I was on your website today, and I know that you guys are almost giving those things away. I got to get some of those and get those into the hands of everybody I know. I believe it. I really, truly believe it was that profound.
Well, thank you, Coach. And we are a small ministry. We're a radio talk show ministry, but we have sold now about 1,300 of those DVDs. Focus on the Strategy, and they're riveting because we document 7 lines of evidence that our Christian leaders have turned to humanism, and whereas they used to oppose situational ethics and moral relativism, they are now defending things that we opposed as evil just 40 and 50 years ago. And we give examples from pornography and homosexuality to adultery and, of course, the battle against abortion.
And not only that, Pastor Bob, you have audio and video clips on there that you show right out of their own mouths, out of the speaker's mouth, and it's pretty profound. Let me back up with you a second,
yeah,
though, Pastor. I find out as I travel around, and I still do some graduate level teaching. I do a lot of speaking. I find that we throw words around, and people don't even really know what those words mean. So let's back up a minute, Pastor Bob.
Sure.
From your standpoint, what is moral relativism?
Moral relativism is the belief that there is no such thing as absolute right and absolute wrong. And that's one of the key differences between conservatives and liberals, or I prefer to call it the right and the left. The left, they do not believe that all truth and righteousness comes from God. They are relativist. So they prefer to believe in evolution and that right and wrong depends on your own subjective worldview. We say, no, there are absolute truths, and there is absolute right and wrong. So a liberal says there's no such thing as absolute truth, and we say, is that true? Is that absolutely true? And right away they crumble.
Uh-huh.
And they say there's no such thing as right and wrong, and we say, is that right? And they crumble. That you can refute the atheist worldview usually in less than 8 seconds.
So when the former president of the United States, President Bill Clinton, under oath said it all depends on what the meaning of is, he was, in fact, regurgitating that same moral relativism that is now infiltrated into our schools.
Yes, that's right. And as we will show, it also has come into the body of Christ. And very tragically, some of our most beloved leaders have embraced legal positivism. And maybe I could start out with one example, and we could go through quite a number.
Okay.
But the one example is when a federal judge who's been a hero to pro-lifers, Judge Samuel Alito, he ruled on partial birth abortion in New Jersey. And this is shocking to many Christians because they don't know that Judge Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. That was his ruling. The legislature of the state of New Jersey passed a law to ban partial birth abortion, which is the most egregious and obvious wicked form of child killing, abortion. And so it came before Planned Parenthood sued the state of New Jersey. It came to Justice Samuel Alito. And Alito, supposedly a pro-life Christian conservative judge, he ruled to keep legal partial birth abortion. He struck down the law, and he ruled against all the pro-life groups who were in his court trying to uphold this abortion ban. Well, that is tragic, but what his excuse was that he was following precedent. That was his excuse. That's called legal positivism. That's moral relativism. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with murder. What matters is that you're following the process.
So in other words, Pastor Bob, and again, I think we'd have to admit that that some of the major ministries, in fact, I shared with other people during the opening segment that you did, in fact, just share this whole idea of legal positivism with Tom Menery and the folks at Focus on the Family. You shared it with Dr. James Dobson.
Yes.
These are good people.
Yes.
Dr. James Dobson has been in the abortion battle and the family battle for nearly 40 years.
So amen.
This is not some guy who's trying to undermine us. It's not that he has a different agenda. It's just that he's been, like so many of us, has been confused by the battle. The Bible says the trumpet blast is uncertain. Who will go to war? And there's been an uncertain blast, and those of us trying to fight this this tsunami of liberalism and anti-God attack coming down the pike, we've been clouded by the smoke of the battle, haven't we, Pastor Bob?
That's right, exactly, Coach Dave. And so we have on our website a letter from Dr. James Dobson responding to our analysis of what's happening. And he responds specifically to Samuel Alito's rulings. Now, Samuel Alito issued about 5 strongly extremist pro-abortion rulings. And Dr. Dobson responded, for example, when Alito ruled to keep legal partial birth abortion, Dr. Dobson on February 23rd, 2006, page 2 of his letter.
This is on your website, kgov.com.
Right. It's on Focus on the Family letterhead. Dr. James Dobson signed it, and then he appended a handwritten note at the end. And he was speaking about our website and the rulings that we identified from Samuel Alito at our, as Dr. Dobson wrote, the case is posted on kgov.com. And he said, when you look at those closest carefully, you realize that Justice Alito was following the long established principle of stare decisis. And he is affirming and defending Alito for voting, for ruling to keep partial birth abortion legal in New Jersey. And Dr. Dobson, the reason he affirms this, he says it's a good ruling from a good judge, just like many other of our Christian leaders are now saying. And he says it's a good ruling because Alito was following stare decisis. Now, that's a Latin term. It means that you're following precedent. But there was a longer established precedent before stare decisis, which is do not murder. That is God's enduring command to the nations. Do not murder. And there is no process, no side deal apart from God, no law, no ruling that can justify intentionally murdering an innocent person.
So, Pastor Bob, here's really where we are. And I think this is very hard for people to understand. Because the courts have grabbed such control of this nation, and really government of the people, by the people, and for the people, it's almost a thing of the past. We've now seen decisions be forced down for the Supreme Court, abortion, sodomy, some of those things that fly directly in the face of over 2,000 years of legal precedent, certainly 200 years in the United States of America. And the idea of stare decisis is that when a decision's been made, therefore that becomes the law of the land,
right.
And every decision that's made afterwards has to therefore follow under that ruling by the judges. So in other words, Pastor Bob, and I think one of the arguments that you're making is if the Supreme Court tomorrow ruled that murder was legal,
Right, which they did.
Then every judge in America would be obligated to enforce that ruling.
Right. Now, the Supreme Court did rule that with Roe v. Wade regarding unborn children.
Right.
And at the time, our Christian leaders identified that as murder. It was wrong. It shouldn't be enforced, just as when Germany allowed, they legalized the killing of Jews. No judge, no governing official should have supported that or tolerated it. They should have only opposed it or disobeyed it. And after World War II, America and our allies, we held court at Nuremberg, and we tried judges and lawyers and officials in Germany who were upholding the law and following precedent. And in their defense, they killed Jews. And in their defense, they said, well, we were only following the law. We were following precedent. And the American judges said, that is no defense. You are guilty of murder when you intentionally kill the innocent. And we convicted judges who were following the law, because that's humanism. It's moral relativism to say, as a judge, I can rule to murder the innocent and I'm justified because I'm following the process. That's evil, and it's humanism. Well, fast forward 60 years, and the change has been gradual, but now almost all of our national Christian ministries have switched sides on this issue, and they have become legal positivists.
Pastor Bob, let's back up a second.
Yeah.
Let's you and I go back to January 22nd, 1973.
All right.
When that horrible ruling Roe versus Wade came down from the Supreme Court saying that it was okay for a woman to kill her unborn child.
Yes.
At that point, it did, in fact, become the law of the land, even though we know that the court decisions are not law. They're merely decisions.
Yeah, it was legally invalid. If a judge says you can kill Jews, you could rape women, you could kill blacks, you could kill babies, that is legally invalid. It has no force of law. But weak-minded men and men willing to compromise, judges and lawyers under that ruling, will go along with it, and they think they're justified because they're just doing their job.
So in 1973, there you and I are, Pastor Bob, and we're standing outside the Supreme Court. 1973, this decision just comes down. They walk down the steps in front of the Supreme Court under Moses holding the Ten Commandments at the top of the building. We've all seen that. What should good Christian men, Pastor Bob Binyart, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, Reverend Flip Benham, Rusty Thomas, what should we have done January 22nd, 1973?
Well, if the church, the body of Christ, would have come out of their churches and their pews and into the streets, you know, governments, more than anything, they care about their own survival.
Uh-huh.
And so, in fact, the Lebanese people coming out onto the streets kicked Syria out of the country, of all things.
Mm.
So if the church, if Christians would have been led by our leaders to say we will not allow innocent children to be killed in our communities, then we could have stopped abortion immediately.
So the truth is, no court can enforce an unconstitutional, ungodly edict. In other words, Pastor Bob, you would say, and I certainly agree with you, and so would many, many Christians who are beginning to wake up across the nation, would say, we don't care what the Supreme Court of the United States says. Almighty God takes precedent. The law, the rule of Almighty God takes precedent over the Supreme Court.
Yeah, exactly right. If there are enduring principles of justice that God has revealed, and we need to honor those principles of justice. Do not steal. Do not murder. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not commit adultery. Those four of the Ten Commandments are the foundation of a criminal justice system. And as you undermine each one of those, as we have done, then you are destroying the foundation of law in your nation. And so when the Supreme Court says, now you can kill babies, that is invalid. And no judge and no governing official should have done anything to uphold it. Congress should have moved. Of course they would not, because they're a large committee, and large committees become increasingly godless. But Congress should have moved against the Supreme Court.
Well, Pastor Bob, let's forward. Folks, this is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, Passing the Salt with Pastor Bob Binyart. His website is www.kgov.com. Unbelievable stuff on there. More information on this legal positivism. And before we really, really dive into that, Pastor Bob, which we're going to here in a second, I just got to know, brother, your brain works like no man I've ever met. I'm not blowing smoke at you. I interview a lot of people as you do, but you see things from an entirely different perspective. And jump on this train and ride back with me now to I believe it was 2004, when the Supreme Court stepped out and walked down those steps and said that sodomy is now legal in the United States of America. What should have been the reaction of the church then, Bob?
That's right. Homosexual activity, homosexual relations, they declared are valid. And the tolerance and legalizing of homosexuality through Western civilization has led to the deaths of millions of people, tortured deaths of millions of people, whereas when God prohibited homosexuality, that led to life and mercy for millions upon millions of people. And in fact, when America was founded, homosexuality was not only considered a sin, it was also a crime. It was a crime. And because of that, millions of people were not dying in America and Europe and around the world from homosexuality, because through Judeo-Christian legal history, sexual immorality was not only a sin, it was also a crime.
But Pastor Bob, when you say they suffered horrible deaths, you're not talking about hate crimes. You're not talking about people beating them up. What type of horrible deaths have these men suffered?
I'm talking about Romans 1, where Paul says they pay the penalty which is due in their own bodies. They die of STDs. They die of suicide. Homosexuals in America die of a murder rate 80 times higher than average committed by other homosexuals against them. They die of alcoholism and drug abuse because it's an utterly destructive, perverted lifestyle. And so God mercifully outlawed it. Now, the Supreme Court ruled that homosexuality is legal across the land. And one of the justices who voted against that ruling, I'll use him as an example, Justice Clarence Thomas. Our Christian leaders point to Clarence Thomas and they say, he is a great judge. We need more judges like him. Well, in his dissent, Clarence Thomas wrote that, of course, homosexuality should be legal. And of course, the law in Texas is absurd. I mean, the language he used was extreme for a judge. He was basically saying that only morons would want homosexuality to be against the law. He said, but it's not my job. It's not my job. Homosexuality needs to be legalized throughout every state legislature or by Congress nationwide, and then he will uphold that because that's the way things should be. My point is that Clarence Thomas, he's not on our side. Clarence Thomas, Antonin Scalia, these guys are pro-choice. They are not pro-life. We have been lied to. They believe not that a baby has a right to life and that the government has to defend that right to life. Even if they only believed in the Constitution, they would know that a baby has a right to life. But they believe that as long as you pass the abortion laws according to the process, then those laws should be upheld. That's what Antonin Scalia and Clarence Thomas believe. And so when we're told that they're pro-life, we are being misinformed. They are pro-choice. They're legal positivists. As long as you follow the process, they will uphold the results, whether it's affirming homosexuality or child killing or pornography or anything else.
Folks, this is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer with Pastor Bob Inyard. His website is kgov.com. Hosts his own radio show, popular radio show in Denver, Colorado. Pastor Bob, we're going to run to a break. When we come back for this break, Pastor, we're going to dig into this legal positivism. I'm going to have you explain to us what it is. And if we can, Pastor, at that point, let's try to start going down through those 7 points
sure.
that you made to Dr. James Dobson and Tom Minery. And by the way, I shared with our local audience here, Tom Minery's wife, Debbie Minery, she grew up a stone's throw from where I'm sitting here right now. In fact, Debbie Minery is a second cousin of mine. So we got a great connection there. We were never close as cousins as young kids, but we do have that connection. So, well, Bob, we're going to run to a break. Get your guns all greased up and oiled. Get them locked and loaded. And when we come back, we're going to take a shot at this legal positive.
All right, Coach.
Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, Passing the Salt. We'll be right back.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
So here's the question we have to ask ourselves, folks. Is the law God? Is the law God? That's really the question that I think Pastor Bob Enyart's thrown out of here now. If the Supreme Court were to rule today that you're allowed to have 12 wives, is that all of a sudden, is that now the law of the land? Does that make it legal? Does that make it right? Are we bound by, as we heard over and over and over during the recent Supreme Court hearings for both John Roberts and for Samuel Alito, that stare decisis, that was it, man. That's it. No litmus tests. And Pastor Bob, we know the other side has a litmus test, but of course, not supposed to be any litmus test on the conservative side. But you begin to look even beyond this, Pastor Bob.
Yes.
Bob Enyart again, folks of the Denver Bible Church. You begin to look even beyond that, and you shared with me a story when I was down with Terry Schiavo, and I was trying to get water into Terry Schiavo. You were sitting home in your living room pulling your hair out because of you saw the argument that the church was making, that the pro-family leaders were making, and it was the exact wrong argument. Could you share that with us, Pastor?
Yes. Religious leaders, pro-life spokespeople in the media had switched sides during the fight to save Terry Schiavo, and they actually switched to the pro-suicide position. And this is what they said across the nation. They said, because Terry did not leave a written directive, it's wrong to starve her to death. If she would have left a written directive, then it would have been legal. Now, that is the position of the Hemlock Society and the pro-suicide camp for years, that they have advocated that people should be allowed to starve themselves to death to commit suicide. The pro-lifers have opposed that. You don't have the right to kill yourself to avoid suffering. You don't have that right. And so the pro-lifers were trying to pass laws in Florida and nationally, even National Right to Life, where these laws would recognize assisted suicide legislation, and they would say if a patient signed a directive to be starved to death, then the courts would have to honor that.
Pastor Bob, all across America, as that whole battle was going on, and again, I was down there observing that thing firsthand, all across America, we began to hear from we heard from Jay Sekulow, and we heard from D. James Kennedy and James Dobson, and we heard from all these great leaders. And I'm not poking fun at them because I respect everything that they've done, but they were all saying the same thing: get a living will, get the papers filled out, and you're
just
pulling
devastating.
Your hair out saying that's the absolute worst thing of all.
Just devastating. For example, on Salem Radio Network, which is the largest Christian radio network in the country, except now that they went public, so you could buy stock in Salem Radio. And many of their hosts are no longer Christian, but they're religious, conservative pro-lifers, like Michael Medved and Dennis Prager and Hugh Hewitt, for example. Now, the three of them were on one show as they're trying to kill Terry.
Right.
And Michael Medved asked Hugh Hewitt and Dennis Prager, what if she had a written directive? And they all agreed then it should be legal for her to commit suicide, to starve her to death, assisted suicide. Then the question was asked, what if she didn't have a brain injury or handicap? What if she was just a quadriplegic? And the answer on that show with those three pro-life conservative talk show hosts was, well, she should still have the right to kill herself, to commit suicide, even if she was a quadriplegic. So basically, they switched sides, and they're affirming the right to commit suicide as long as you follow the process. National Right to Life did the same thing when they were fighting to pass the Incapacitated Persons Legal Protection Act, which would have recognized state laws that if you have a written directive, then you can commit suicide.
So Terry Schiavo, they were so blinded by the battle to save Terry Schiavo,
right,
these good men,
right,
that they did not see where their argument was taking them.
Exactly right. When you are in the battle, you have to recognize, you know, God didn't want David to build the temple because he had too much blood on his hands. And when you're killing people right and left, even if they're Philistines, you might turn around and kill one of your own guys because he's in the way.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the battle wears on you. That's why we need to stay close to the Lord and stay focused. We need to be experts on right and wrong. Experts.
Pastor Bob, you surely have heard the name of Dr. Jack Kevorkian.
Oh, yeah.
They called him Dr. Death.
Jack the Dripper.
What? Jack the Dripper. Where is Dr. Kevorkian today?
He's in prison.
And why is he in prison?
Well, it was against the law at the time. Increasingly, it's legal to kill patients who are elderly or sick. But it's against the law to kill a patient. And he not only killed many patients, almost all of them elderly women who were lonely, but also there was one man that he was killing, assisted suicide. The man agreed, but then the man panicked and he wanted to stop and not go through with it.
Yeah.
And Kevorkian, in his own handwriting, wrote about this and he killed him anyway.
So we're looking at a man who is in prison for basically going around helping elderly, incapacitated people who had signed a legal document saying that they wanted to die, and Jack Kevorkian doing nothing more than coming in and putting them to sleep, putting them out of their misery. They locked him up and they put him in jail because assisted suicide is against the law.
Right. And now in the northwestern United States, they're working. They've passed a law, in fact, one law to legalize assisted suicide. In Port Angeles, Washington, our family, my wife and kids, we're going there. We're going to check this out, try to talk to some people involved. But it was just documented on a program called American Justice. A baby was born struggling. The baby died, came back, was struggling to hang on to life, was obviously suffering serious brain damage, but the baby was alive. The doctor went into the room, picked up the baby in the hospital, and put his hand over his mouth and smothered the baby.
Oh,
the parents were devastated. When the courts decided not to prosecute the doctor, the town hall meeting, they cheered. They cheered this doctor, and then it was decided that the doctor wouldn't even lose his medical license. And again, the people of Port Angeles cheered. So we are in a battle today where those who intentionally kill children have become the heroes. Denver's Children's Hospital encouraged the parents of a 4-year-old handicapped boy to starve him to death. Little Dylan Walborn, the parents did it. It took 24 days, documented in the Denver Post. Children's Hospital encouraged the parents of a handicapped boy to kill that baby, that boy, by starving him to death. That's where we're at.
Why wouldn't somebody just go in and put a bullet through his head?
Yeah, why not? That'd be more merciful than starving him to death. And, of course, that's where the euthanasia camp is going, from passive euthanasia to active euthanasia.
But the world wouldn't put up with him putting a bullet through his head, would they?
Well, eventually they will. It's the slippery
yeah.
slope.
You know, Pastor, a dot I'm trying to connect, I don't mean to belabor this, but
no.
the dot that I'm trying to connect is when we were down in Pinellas Park, Florida, there were policemen that were surrounding that building.
Devastating.
There were police dogs. There were guys in riot gear. There were snipers up on the roof.
Yeah.
There was an order from Judge Greer. There was an order from many other courts that ordered that woman to go ahead and allow her to die.
It sounds like Dachau. It sounds like Auschwitz.
Am I missing something here, Pastor Bob? Or was the chief of police and the judge and the mayor and the governor and the president and Congress and the Supreme Court, were they not all complicit in the legalized
murder,
Terry Schiavo, even if she had wanted to die?
The judicial murder, right, homicide of Terry Schiavo. Now, almost all the judges involved were Republicans. Judge George Greer was a Republican judge. He was the first level, and he was raised in a conservative Christian pro-life Baptist church.
In fact, his pastor talked about what a fine man he was.
Yeah, his whole life. Now, eventually, he quit that church. But then you go up to the 11th Circuit there in Florida?
Yes.
And of those judges, six of the 12 justices were appointed by Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., and George W. Bush. All six of the Reagan and Bush judges, all six voted to kill Terri Schiavo, all six. Then it went up to the U.S. Supreme Court, which seven of the nine of those justices were nominated by Republican presidents, and the U.S. Supreme Court voted to kill Terri Schiavo, basically to let her be killed by judicial homicide.
So this idea that if we can just get more Republicans in office and just get more Republican pro-life justices on the bench, if we can just only turn to the Republican Party to save us, all of the ills of America will go away. That seems to be fraudulent on its face.
Well, tragically, that's false. And one of the reasons it's false is because our conservative Christian judges, the lawyers in law school who then become a judge and they're working their way up, they are affirmed in their legal positivism by, I hate to say it, Focus on the Family and D. James Kennedy and the American Family Association. Group after group has turned to this humanist moral relativism. For example, Gary Bauer, I think you probably recognize his name.
Sure we do.
Yeah, he ran for president in a Republican primary as, you know, James Dobson's favorite candidate in the primary some years ago. And he wrote, after Samuel Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion, we exposed Alito's voting record and other small Christian ministries exposed it. And Gary Bauer, in response, wrote that that was a good ruling from a good judge. And because the judge was following the process, it doesn't matter that he was violating do not murder. He was following the process so that our Christian kids who are going to law school and hopefully becoming judges, all of them are now humanist in their legal worldview. They all believe the judge should follow the process, even if it means murdering the innocent. That's happened because our Christian pro-life leaders, the national ones, have changed sides. They've joined the humanist. They have become legal positivists because they think it brings us closer to victory. But when the good people no longer are willing to obey God on do not murder, you are way further from victory.
See, Pastor Bob, I wrote a commentary about 2 months ago, I think, called Fighting on the Wrong Field. And I see this happening all the time. In fact, Flip Benham's here in town this week, and I saw Flip last night. And I don't know if you saw him, but he was on ESPN2 the other night.
All right. No, I missed it.
No, he did a great job. He was on there talking about the school prayer. And, of course, when he mentioned the name of Jesus, everybody on the whole set turned against him. But it was Flip didn't back down, and it was awesome to watch. But after he was done, I called Flip on my cell phone and said, Flip, you did a great job, except there is no separation between the church and the state. And Pastor Bob, what has happened to us with this legal positivism, which we still haven't really got to yet, and we're going to, folks, so hang in there with us. All of it is based on the fact that the Supreme Court is the highest authority in the land. When the Supreme Court makes the decision, torpedoes be damned. Who cares what God says? Who cares what the laws of nature and nature's God are? Who cares about natural law? What now becomes important is what did those nine terrorists in black robes say? And when every time we enter into the debate and we grant them that there is a separation between the church and the state, that God has no business being in government, when we give up that argument, we are already behind the eight ball.
Well, the state has an absolute obligation to obey God. No governing authority has the right to set aside God's law. Do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, don't bear false witness. No judge or president or lawmaker has the authority to set aside that foundational law. And so when they do, they are sinning and they're guilty. And on Judgment Day, God will deal with them. And in the meantime, we need to do what we can to get them to repent if we care about their souls and to mitigate the damage done by these wicked laws. So the government has an absolute obligation to God. You know, Coach Dave, maybe Flip meant, which I think would be accurate, that the government and the church are separate entities.
Sure they are.
It's not, I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, but God did not authorize me to apprehend criminals, break into somebody's house, grab a guy who's guilty of child molestation, and try him and kill him. I don't have that authority as the pastor.
Amen.
But as the government, God has authorized the government to use force to proactively uphold criminal justice. As a pastor, I have the right to use force in self-defense when there's imminent threat to life or limb or property, but I don't have the right to use force the way the government does to go after criminals, apprehend them, and punish and execute criminals who are convicted.
My friend Bill Federer with Amerisearch.net, American Minute, I don't know if you know Bill or not.
Sure, sure.
He made that very clear to me. He said what the founders really meant to say and should have said is that there's a separation between church government and state government. They're certainly not intertwined, but it's a one-way wall where the church is supposed to be the moral authority to the government. And we've gotten away from that. And because we've gotten away from that, Pastor Bob, as we've seen by watching the whole Judge Roy Moore fiasco, a man who did understand that there was a law higher than the law of man, who stood, knew that God's law was above it, we saw exactly how he was pilloried in the press, and in fact, how the Bush administration played their very important part in seeing him brought down.
Yeah, in fact, one of the judges who ruled to kill Terry Schiavo was also one of the judges who was a prosecutor of Judge Roy Moore. And I'm trying to recall his name in the 11th Circuit, William Pryor.
Bill Pryor.
Yeah, and William Pryor, just like Priscilla Owen, just like Samuel Alito, these are the heroes of the pro-life Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And William Pryor was a prosecutor against Judge Roy Moore, and he voted to kill Terry Schiavo on the 11th Circuit. He's not a pro-lifer. He's not on God's side of these issues. He is a legal positivist. If he thinks they follow the process and the outcome is you should kill Terry Schiavo, then he will vote to kill Terry Schiavo. And he does so because he's following Focus on the Family's commitment to legal positivism. They have become humanist in their legal worldview, and they haven't realized it. And nobody has called them on it, and now they're dug in, and they're committed. We hoped and prayed a year ago when we went to Colorado Springs and presented for an hour and a half that they would see this evidence and consider it and change course.
But they're too dug in, aren't they, Pastor?
They're dug in, and it devastated them. Tom Minery, VP of Public Policy for James Dobson, said this was like getting cold water thrown in their face. He said, we're not sure where to go next. Perhaps we'd like to have you and the elders of Denver Bible Church come back and present this to a larger group of people at Focus on the Family. Well, sadly, that did not happen, but they dug in, and James Dobson himself has written that it is right when Samuel Alito votes to keep legal partial birth abortion, that is a justifiable ruling because he's following process.
Coach Dave Dobenmeyer with Pastor Bob Inyart. Pastor, we're going to run to a break. Folks, listen, I promised you during the last one that we were going to come back and talk about legal positivism. That's what we're going to do. Pastor Bob's going to give us a clear definition of what it is and begin to present evidence to us how we're fighting the wrong battle. And until we understand that the battle has to be won on truth, we're going to continue to fall behind. It's Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, Passing the Salt. Hang right in there with us, and we'll be right back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-INYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
So, folks, I've got to ask you this question. Is there someone higher than the Supreme Court? Has there ever been a time in American history when we've seen a Supreme Court decision overturned? Seems to me there was a time in America when a black man was considered to be 6/10 of a human being. the Dred Scott case. It seems to me that there was a time when separate but equal was the law of the land. It seems to me that there was a time when the Supreme Court ruled that sodomy was a crime, and yet we see that stare decisis, or established law, certainly was overturned. But Pastor Bob Inyart from Denver Bible Church and www.kgov.com, Pastor Bob Inyart says that we have switched, we've traded teams. We don't even realize we've traded our teams in our frustration over losing and our frustration of falling behind, our frustration of not getting our right candidates in. We have switched tactics, and they are the wrong tactics, and that tactic that we have fallen into is a process called legal positivism. Now, Pastor Bob, if you can,
yes,
take that term, break that down. Listen, we're out here in the cornfield. Sometimes we can't get our heads above the tassels on the top of it. Explain to us in Ohio terms, what is legal positivism?
My wife Cheryl's from Middletown, Ohio.
Oh, man, yeah.
And we love
Jerry Lucas.
And we love your zoo out there, the Columbus Zoo.
How about that?
Our kids love it, too. All right, legal positivism is when the law and the judge has no obligation to God or his principles, but only to the law created by humans.
So he's pledged allegiance to the law,
to the system that men have devised, so that Christians for centuries would say, no, that's not right. A judge has an absolute obligation to do not murder. That's what our Christian leaders would have said 30 years ago. The humanists were saying moral relativism, it's subjective, situational ethics. Now, virtually all of our Christian leaders have become legal positivists. They have said Samuel Alito's ruling to kill children by partial birth abortion in New Jersey, they've said that was a good ruling because he is upholding the process. He's following precedent. That's called legal positivism. You can violate do not murder and do not kidnap and do not steal as long as you're true to the process, to humanism.
Well, Pastor Bob, let me make a connection. I did a show a couple months ago with a guy by the name of Dr. Brookie Stockton, who is a Southern Baptist pastor who lost his pastorate. He's been a pastor for 35 years, was a teacher in the seminary, but lost it because he began to speak out in the Southern Baptist, said, hey, some of these things that we're supporting, some of these people we're following, they're not very godly. And, of course, man, oh, man, they came sweeping down on top of him and this pastorate. But he and I had a conversation on the radio show about Romans 13. How does that make a connection here, Pastor?
Well, Romans 13, God has authorized the government to use capital punishment against criminals, and we need to obey the governing authorities. However, we must obey God rather than men. So if the government tells us that we can or we should kill the innocent, then we should say, no, we will not kill the innocent. We won't do it with our own hands. We won't use our influence to let other people kill the innocent.
So they are ministers of God for good.
The government,
they are supposed
right.
to be avengers of evil.
Right. Now, for example, I'd like to give the case of Baby 10 in Texas.
Okay.
Justice Priscilla Owen, another hero of the pro-life community.
They love her. In fact, many are touting her for the next Supreme Court position.
That's right. And she's now a federal judge because the pro-lifers were lobbying for her. George W. Bush put her on the Texas Supreme Court. They have a unique system there, but he supported her getting on the Texas Supreme Court and then nominated her to be a federal judge. And then the Democrats in Congress filibustered against her, and so they couldn't get her confirmed. The pro-lifers were lobbying for her. So finally, now the pro-lifers won. Priscilla Owen is a federal justice. Well, when she was on the Texas Supreme Court, these women would come asking for the right to kill their babies without their parents knowing. Now, it's wrong to kill your baby. It's even worse if your parent knows you're going to kill your baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's even worse if your parent gives you permission to kill your baby. But regardless of all that, Priscilla Owen is Christian, pro-life. So she kept voting, no, I'm not going to give you permission to kill your baby, until Baby 10 came along. And the lower
Baby 10 was the number 10.
The 10th baby to come to the Texas Supreme Court. And you could look this up. You could read about this on their Supreme Court website. The 10th case of parental notification. And Priscilla Owen voted that because the lower court judge missed the filing deadline in this little girl's case, Therefore, the mother had the right to kill the baby.
A legal technicality. Didn't get the paperwork filed in time.
Right. And so Priscilla Owen, who is a hero to the Christian pro-life community, basically signed the death warrant to kill this little girl, baby 10. And the tragedy of it all is she is affirmed by all our pro-life leaders. She is a hero, and none of them give her even the courtesy of saying, Priscilla, when you voted to kill baby 10, that was wrong. They actually think it was right because she was following the process.
So legal positivism, Pastor Bob, would be Priscilla Owen would say in her heart, which she probably did say in her heart, but didn't verbalize it,
right.
I think murder is wrong. I think this is horrible. I think that there's no way that this woman ought to be able to do this to her child. But because she missed the filing deadline,
right.
That filing deadline trumps what I feel in my heart to be right and wrong.
Well, it trumps do not murder.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's the paperwork. You know, the paperwork fell up, and so kill that baby. And the Christian leaders who've come to this place where they're defending legal positivism and moral relativism in the courts, the evil that they're bringing about is worse than the evil that the atheists are bringing about, because they are bringing moral relativism through the body of Christ from our top leaders on down, and it's working.
So, Pastor Bob, if you were to have an audience, just you and Dr. James Dobson, and you looked across the table from him, and you presented this issue of baby 10 to James Dobson, and you said, Dr. Dobson, I'm just curious, how you, Dr. Dobson, you stood and you said that the older you get, the more you're committed to the fact that you will never vote for a candidate who will kill even one innocent baby. That's on tape. I've seen that. You've seen that.
Right.
If you were across the table for him, and you said to him, Dr. Dobson, how can you support Priscilla Owens based on this decision? What do you think his answer would be?
I'm afraid he's already responded. Now, it wasn't with baby 10, but it was with partial birth abortion. And in his letter that we have on our website at kgov.com, this is a letter written by James Dobson, February 24th. He defended the decision by Alito to keep legal partial birth abortion because he was following the process. Stare decisis. I'm devastated to think that James Dobson would say the same thing in his defense of Priscilla Owen, that she did the right thing because she was following the law when she signed to kill baby 10. And 60 years ago, America knew enough right from wrong to try at Nuremberg the German judges who killed the innocent, even though their defense was, we're following the process, we're following precedent, we're following the law. That was their defense. And we said, no, that is not a valid defense. You are guilty of murdering the innocent.
Because there's a higher law.
Of course. Do not murder. God's enduring command to the nations. And here, now we have our Christian leaders who have submitted to this humanist legal positivism and saying, do not murder is not the guiding principle that our judges need to abide by. It's whatever the previous big decision was.
So Pastor Bob, again, folks, this is Pastor Bob Inyart of Denver Bible Church, host of Bob Inyart Live, heard in Denver, and of the website kgov.com. And by the way, they can find all this information on your website at kgov.com.
I could give you a quote from a letter from Focus on the Family to one of the elders of Denver Bible Church. This is after, let's see, we went down to Focus on the Family. I presented, but our whole elder board was there. It was really a great meeting. We got a letter from Ross Marshall, who's in the office of the president at Focus on the Family. This is also on our website at KGov, dated January 9th, 2006. And Ross Marshall writes on Focus on the Family letterhead, he writes, as Mr. Enyart stated, it is true that Dr. Dobson has said on previous occasions that he would never cast a vote for any politician who supports abortion. Recently, however, Dr. Dobson felt he was faced with a necessity, this is just devastating, Coach, of changing his mind. Dr. Dobson, I'm quoting, rightly or wrongly, he chose to compromise his own standard. He believes God has led him in this direction. That's on Focus on the Family letterhead. We scan that, and people have been devastated to read these things. And the reason Dr. Dobson is doing this is because they've dug in and they are committed to the process instead of being committed to God's enduring command, do not murder. The process is okay if it doesn't conflict with do not murder, and do not steal, and do not commit adultery. Then the process is fine.
What's happened is, Pastor Bob, I've talked to many lawyers, and they're very honest. And many of the lawyers that we send through law schools today tell me they never study the Constitution. They go over very, very briefly, but they never do. And then we see these blowhards in Washington and our elected officials talk about defending the Constitution, and our court system is so far removed from what their constitutional responsibility is supposed to be.
Well, that's true, but, you know, it goes even back further. As you know, you just referenced this, Coach Dave, just minutes ago. Article 1 of the U.S. Constitution counted most blacks as three-fifths of a person.
Right.
And that was tragic. I recently reread the Dred Scott decision you referenced a few minutes ago.
Uh-huh.
And when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled, was that the 1850s? They ruled that blacks could be owned as property, and they went back and did a summary of all the laws against blacks when the Constitution was written and adopted. And there were laws that said, for example, that it is a crime to teach a black person how to read and write. There were wicked, racist laws. And so, tragically, some of what went into America early on was sinful. Some of it was sinful. But what is not sinful in any country at any time through history is God's enduring commands. Do not murder. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. By the way, that's perjury. So God has revealed for all the world the foundation of a criminal justice system, which we need to be experts on. And we need to be able to explain to Christians and unbelievers that God had certain ceremonial and symbolic laws for Israel, like you had to circumcise and your clothing had to be of pure fiber because it symbolized the Messiah would be pure and he would be cut off in the flesh. But the criminal code that God has revealed, that is enduring. For example, the death penalty goes back to Noah. That's centuries before Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not Jewish ceremonial law that says you put to death a convicted murderer or kidnapper. That's the criminal code that God has affirmed. Let me break into my own broadcast. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. I hope you are enjoying this program. If you are, tune in tomorrow for the conclusion right here on Bob Enyart Live. Now, if you've missed part of it, of course, you could go to our website, KGOV.com, and listen to it again in its entirety from beginning to end, or send a link to a friend so they could listen to it online, or you can subscribe to our monthly sermons. That's where you would get a CD in the mail about the middle of each month, and you'll enjoy the four sermons from the pulpit of Denver Bible Church for that month. Of course, you can also subscribe to our monthly 8 Best of Bob radio shows, or our monthly Bible album, where you receive an entire album of Bible study on the different books of the Bible and different topics. So all that is available at KGOV online at KGOV.com, or by calling us at 800-8-NYARD. That's 800-836-9278. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.